What's going on, everybody? This is Drew here. I want to welcome you all to a brand new episode of Phoenix Down. This is Phoenix Down 128.5, and we are continuing and finishing our playthrough of Greedfall. Today I have with me Matt.
Hello.
And yeah, it's been a while. Been well over a month. We recorded that Thursday. If you remember, we recorded on that Thursday, or it might have been Wednesday. I had the episode go up that Friday. Well, that Friday, we then went to the hospital, and my daughter came 3 weeks early. So I have been doing nothing but dad duty the entire time. Now I have been able to get in some game time, because this child does not sleep at night. And because of that, I brought the Xbox out to the living room, and I sit with her while my wife sleeps, and I play video games. So I was able to beat Greedfall in that amount of time.
That's crazy. I wasn't sure if the available time was going to go down to zero or not.
Yeah. So that, like, obviously the recording sessions are going to be a little weird because, you know, I'm watching the child when we usually record, but we're actually recording on a Sunday afternoon, so that works. But, we just got to adjust. That's all we got to do. And we did. And as we were saying before the show, I thought I had maybe 2 hours left in this game. Oh, no. I had much longer than that in this game. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and go through the whole shebang. We're just basically going to talk about, like, what led up to the ending and what ending we got, because I feel like that's probably going to be the best bet, because we're going to be playing through an entire game and then talking about it. That's going to be kind of like the new formula for the show. And I mean, if you want me to tell you what I did in those 6 hours, most of it was traveling to different places to make people happy.
Yep.
Was what it was.
Do you walk slower in this game based on how burdened you are? Because I've never particularly thought that I was moving overly slow, but I feel like I just had to do a lot of traversal, and sometimes I'm like, all right, it's going to take me 5 or 10 minutes to just get where I need to go.
Well, I know for a fact that you can become overburdened where you can't sprint anymore.
Yep, I know that's a thing.
I don't know if over time, the more you add to your weight before you hit that threshold, you are slower. I don't know. I don't think so. I could be wrong.
See, I don't think I've sprinted once in this game. I've been overburdened since hour two and never been not overburdened through the rest of the game.
Dude, screw that.
I have not sprinted once in this game.
Oh, screw that. No. I'll hold down that A button and fly. I don't care, because it still takes forever with sprinting.
Yeah.
And again, spiders with their clunky, like, I want to interact with something and I walk past it, or I don't aim my camera properly at it so it doesn't pop up. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is... Witcher 3 had that problem too, if you remember.
Yeah. I also have a little bit of, like, I can't leave a body there with that little glowing column of light.
I mean,
like,
I can't
have to
either.
Go get it, whatever it is, but... Only the last couple of hours of this game did I say, you know what? I should have learned now. I've picked up 400 or 500 items or more. Maybe thousands of items. And I've realized now that almost none of them are of any value whatsoever in this game.
Yeah. Do you need another green leather doublet? I don't think so.
Or like the massive amount of gold you pick up, usually like 2 coins at a time.
Now, I'll tell you this. Anytime there was gold to be picked up, I picked it up.
Yeah.
And the reason, and I'll tell you the reason why, because this was my strategy with the game. So if you remember correctly, the last time we recorded, I said that I wanted to go check out some of these legendary weapons. Well, since I am the gunslinger, trickster, archetype character, I decided I would want to go, are there any legendary guns in the game? Well, there is. There is one. And you have to do this very long side quest in Hikmet, to get it. But it's actually a decent side quest. Did I talk about this? Where it's Aphra's, like, old, like, mentor? And he's doing like horrible experiments on people.
This is different from the other horrible guy doing experiments in this game?
I don't... It's probably the same person.
A silly?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. I think I talked about that last time. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I got his gun, which is a legendary gun. But if I remember correctly, I wasn't able to use it yet because I hadn't got my firearms all the way up. You have to have your firearms fully leveled. So 5 points into firearms. All right. Well, leveled up a few times. I got it. Okay. I equipped that sucker. This thing wrecks. This thing wrecks everything.
I think and I have that gun. I should have tried to use it. Maybe I should have put Afra back in my party.
Well, can you give it to Afra? I guess you could probably give it to Afra and just have her wreck stuff.
Yeah, I assume so.
Oh, okay. I never thought about that. I never changed any of my party members' weapons.
I did a little bit, but to be honest, I don't... Other than maybe that gun, I'm not sure I picked up anything that was much better than what other people were using. I feel like they have kind of their unique weapons. And so you'd have to go pretty high down a generic weapon to beat their unique weapon.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I equipped that weapon, and I think I texted you. I was like, "Oh, I got a win button. This thing this thing is just a win button." Like even on bosses, man. Like
yeah,
I mean, just hold back, stay back, and just pop shots off. So then I ran into the issue of now I don't have enough ammo to pop off all these shots. So every time I fast traveled, you go to that little camp, right?
Yeah.
There's a vendor there, and every other day, so I figured it out because I did it so many times. Every other day, he would restock his ammo. He would have 5 shots. All right.
That seems like such a small number.
It is a small number. Considering like some of these like last boss fights that we do probably took 30 or 40 shots to kill.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised it was that few shots even to kill a boss, because I was basically doing what you were doing in parallel, but it was buying magic potions to refill my magic meter so I can shoot my my magic missiles at him.
So I wasn't just shooting, all right? So the ultimate ability that you get for the green pathway, the agility pathway, whatever you want to call it on the skill tree, is you throw a bomb and you shoot it in the air, a la what, like Alone in the Dark, if you remember that game.
Yeah.
You shoot it in the air and it explodes. Now it doesn't do much damage to their health, but it removes their armor like melts it completely. You can upgrade it twice to where it takes off more armor, and then the final upgrade, when you shoot it, it explodes and then also drops acid everywhere and poisons whoever it hits. And that poison is actually really good, because that poison, like, if you ever poison something in this game, it gives you a second, like a ticker that ticks down how long that poison is going to last on them.
Yeah.
It usually always did 20 seconds of poisoning.
And that's even on bosses?
That's even on bosses.
Wow.
And so, with the gun that I have, the Seelie's gun, or blunderbuss, or whatever it's called, that does major damage to armor. So, at the beginning of a boss fight, I would pop off shots to remove the armor. At that point, I've already got my ultimate ability, like, ready to go. I would throw out the bomb, poison them, and then let that tick down while I'm popping off shots. So it wasn't just that. And then, of course, if I wanted to get the bomb, like, you know, because you have to do damage to an enemy to get your adrenaline meter up, and the adrenaline's got to be full to use the special ability, I would go in and slash a few times, because I'd already maxed out the agility skill tree, so I moved over to the strength skill tree and started doing like more damage with slashing weapons and stuff like that. So, and I started like getting into the, you generate more fury or adrenaline with slashing attacks. So that was kind of like my build. It seemed to work for me. To be honest with you, there was only one fight in this game that, and I sent you the video of it.
Yeah.
There's only one fight in this game that was just annoying. And I was like, even with my win button, this is hard.
I think that was the hardest one for me, too, in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so difficult.
I was gearing up for the very last fight to be as hard, and then it wasn't. Yeah. It was just a little bit, like, overly telegraphed, so you could dodge easily, more easily.
Oh, I had no problem with the final boss fight.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
The one before that flying dude. Wow, man. I got so mad. It took me two days. I spent like an hour on that boss fight. Died like I guarantee you I died at least 30 times.
Wow.
Died so much to the point where I was like, I'm not playing this game anymore, and turned it off. And then came back the next day, and I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, I can't beat this boss. She's like, well, try it right now. I was like, you don't want to watch me play a video game. She's like, yeah, give it a shot. Beat it on the first try. I was like, maybe I just have to have an audience.
Yeah. Pressure's on, eyes are on.
Yeah. But yeah, that boss sucked. That was kind of my build going in. And so, but as I was saying, I'm going to run out of ammo. So I had two things in mind. Level up two more times to where I get another attribute point that I can put into, was it chemistry? I don't know. Alchemy, I think is what it's called. So I can make my own ammo. Which I did, finally. So I could craft my own ammo. Then I ran out of, you know, crafting materials. So it was a twofold thing. I go to camp, buy ammo from the vendor, buy the crafty material I needed to craft my own ammo at the vendor, craft ammo, travel, come back, travel again, because it takes 2 days for him to restock his stuff. I'm not kidding. I did this for like 40 minutes. Traveled again.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, I did. So
by two in-game days, right?
Two in-game days.
Could you just sleep for 2 days?
I mean, I could, but I just traveled back and forth.
Yeah.
I traveled from one side of the island to the other side. And bought ammo, made ammo, bought mats, made ammo, and by the end of the game, I had probably about 150 shots in my inventory. And I said, that should be good enough. And it was. I think I still had probably 70 shots in my inventory at the end of this game. But that was like, I was like, I'm foolproofing this. I don't care. I don't want to hit a brick wall again. So that's what I did.
Yeah. See that? That's how I've always felt. Like, I'm okay with that grind if I'm doing it now mentally to prepare myself. But if I get 80% of the way through a series of bosses and, like, can't progress because I don't have enough and then I have to go grind again, that's so much more frustrating.
Yes. Because you were there. I was right there. All I had to do was do something.
Yeah. I guess I never really had to grind in this game, although I did appreciate that I could basically do anything anytime I wanted.
Yeah, I never actually level grinded, but
Yeah.
I did that for the materials and getting the ammo.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that. I just went city to city and bought all the magic potions, which got a lot easier when I just realized there were two different magic potions, a regular and a large, basically.
Start strong magic potion.
Yeah, so I just bought all of both of them, and then I was fine.
I never used magic once in this game. Never had the ability to.
That's never went down that skill tree. Basically, I had my mace that I got probably a third of the way into the game, and that's the only weapon I used throughout the whole rest of the game. And it was doing a good job. After, like I said early on, I had added in all the upgrades. It did a pretty good job of breaking armor. But I never felt like I really had to break armor because the magic bypasses it.
Right.
So
that's like, what I did with poison.
Yeah, yeah,
poison,
that's nice.
Bypassed it. Yeah,
nice that you had the two ways to attack basically as well.
Yeah,
because I leaned harder and harder on just magic at the end of the game because it was faster. It bypassed the armor and I could just auto refill. And, you know, no matter how good I got at using the Shadow Burst, like that was probably one of my favorite moves in the game. Even better than any offensive magic was this Shadow Burst to get out of the way of any incoming attack.
Yeah.
That saved me so many times. But getting up close enough to hack and slash at these enemies, it was just too risky, especially in the end game where the bosses weren't hard, but that's because I never got near them. The times I did get hit, I mean, they were still doing probably 60 to 70% of my health bar per hit.
Yeah, anytime so, like, I got couldn't hit, get in I was close almost to dead. Because
two hits and you're gone. So I'm like, why would I ever get in close to them and risk it?
Yeah. That was what I ran into with that one flying boss that I had to do, was that, like, he would just charge me, you know, fly across the damn map. So I had to, like, get in close. So you had that, like, magic dodge. I eventually unlocked a kind of like a super dodge roll. Instead of me just like dashing away kind of thing, like a quick dash, it was like a dodge roll, and it was weird. I think it's just how the mechanics of the game or the physics of the game work, but you know, there isn't like a full-on lock-on in this game, but the game kind of just is like, oh, you want to attack this guy, so it kind of aims you at that person.
Yeah.
So when it came to boss fights, that dodge roll that I had unlocked, there's a lot of invincibility frames, and that roll is kind of like a long animation, and you can say it looks janky all you want to, but it helped me out because I was technically locked onto this enemy when I did my dodge roll. Physically, I should be rolling away from the enemy, but if I timed it right, I would roll in a circle around them, almost like a curveball kind of thing.
Yeah.
and I'd end the roll directly behind them, and I'm like, well, this works out. So I just do it. I mean, it looks janky, but who cares? I'm behind the enemy now, and I'm going to slash him a couple times.
Yeah.
Because I also unlocked the ability that you do extra damage to enemies from behind.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a good combo.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was doing.
I ended up using that pseudo lock-on quite a lot because I feel like there's nothing you do in this game more often than fight about 4 to 5 vaguely dog-shaped enemies.
Yes.
And basically, you know, I was always happy that, all right, each of my companions are basically distracting one of them. I would try to immediately freeze a third one and then start working on the fourth one. But I was also trying to time like my regular magic shots versus my endurance-based specials. And it was really nice, I think, just to be able to directionally, with the left thumbstick, kind of aim where you want the magic to go, because obviously any time there was someone that was like, an enemy that had like 10% of their life left, just shoot one or two shots that direction to finish him off so that I can have my companion distract a different enemy. That was helpful, especially towards the end of the game, because even those regular batches of enemies ended up having reasonable life bars.
Yeah.
And so it kind of took a while to get through them all, so I wouldn't want to leave 5 or 6 of them around if I could pick off 2 of them pretty quickly. So that became a pretty big part of what I was doing, was trying to manage the herd, basically.
Right.
And so I kind of liked that. It's just I thought it was very easy, very intuitive. I guess it never really mattered who I was shooting at, because even the stray shot that went at the high health bar enemy was still doing damage, so I didn't really care that much.
Right.
I also wasn't like on the verge of like, can I get past these fights so I don't need to be pinpoint accurate to win. So, given that kind of context, it was nice to be able to just send a flurry this way and then send the rest of them that way and save my special down the middle. Like it was kind of fun, kind of light, very light strategy in the battles.
There you go. But yeah, that was pretty much my strategy going in. So I guess when we talk about the rest of this game,
There are a lot of big things that happened in the last quarter of this game, I'd say.
Yeah.
Although, the way they play out, a little bit of what I feared would happen did, as far as pacing issues. Because, for example, you mentioned that that quest line with Asili to get the legendary gun.
Yeah.
Well, that ended up being a wall in the game for me. As I mentioned right before we started to play, I couldn't progress to the very final section of the game because the leader of Hikmet wouldn't give me his support, but he also didn't deny me his support. And it was that quest line that I had to go do before he would make a decision.
Huh.
So I had to go do that whole series of two or three or four quests just to get back to him so that he would say, no, I won't support you. And then I could go on and, you know, have defined the team, you know, or the support that I was getting to go into the end battle. So it was unfortunate to have to spend, I don't know, maybe not a tremendous amount of time, but it was probably about an hour to do that quest line. And to just have to go do that as a detour while things are supposedly at the absolute critical junction. You know, the world depends on what I'm doing, but let me go take an hour and do something random.
Yeah.
That kind of pacing was a little bit disrupted based on the flexibility of the game. But aside from that, like, had I been able to streamline the end of the game like I thought I was, you know, there are some big story beats for sure.
No, definitely. So I have a question. So I mean we always tiptoe over the spoilers at the end. Whatever. This is a spoiler cast. We're just going to go ahead and say it. The end villain of this game is Constantine. And we can kind of describe what happens. And so I have a question, because if you remember correctly, when Constantine started showing symptoms of the Malachor, we had the option of going to the natives to see if they could, if we could find a healer, or going to Hikmet and seeing if the Bridge Alliance had somebody, because that's the doctors, right? That's the scientists.
Yeah.
And we both chose to go with the natives, and we got this you know, healer witch doctor guy who come and try to help him.
Which turns out to have been one of the big events in causing things to go bad.
Yes.
To go wrong.
So over the course of the game, this witch doctor guy, I can't remember what his name is, he's trying to figure out a way to save Constantine. And what ends up happening is Constantine goes missing. He went off on this expedition with the doctor. And through a series of events, you realize that the doctor has basically turned him into one of the natives.
They say they bound him to the island.
They bound him to the island. So the starts with a D, Dodograd, whatever. I can't remember how you pronounce it, but those people basically have given themselves to the island and will eventually turn into one of these guardians, the big boss monsters that we see. When the island so chooses to take them, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I guess from a lore perspective, it makes a little bit of sense, right? We already know the natives don't get infected with Malachor.
Yeah.
So, by whatever mystical means he was bound to the island, at least there's some kind of threads there to say, yeah, whatever that bond is to the island could and theoretically should be able to cure that Malachor.
Right, exactly. So my question then is all this stuff happens because we chose to go with the native doctor. Would any of this stuff happen if we would have went with the Hikmet?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I can't imagine that this game is that diverse that they could have come up with a totally different explanation.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Is like, I'm curious now that if I chose the Hikmet, would it be like you go to Hikmet and you ask for the doctors, and the doctor's like, we can't do anything, and then you have to go with the natives?
No, you have to go back to the natives.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think would happen. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I never explored it.
Maybe a silly was involved in. Either way, it would have to tie back to the natives, right?
That's what I'm thinking, because, I mean, this is a pivotal part of the game and the ending. Like, I don't think there's any other way to not have Constantine as the main villain.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, regardless, in our games, Constantine is now bound to the island. Constantine now gets a taste of what it's like to have that power that the natives have.
I also would wonder what would happen in the Hikmet version, especially because Dr. Asili probably would be involved, but you get that one little nugget of information toward the end of the game, at least for me on Asili's quest, that basically says they're responsible for everything anyway.
I mean, sure.
So I wonder, like, you're like, oh, he's sick. And Dr. Silly's like, yeah, I know, I poisoned him. Of course he's sick.
I don't know.
So, like, I'd be curious what that line, the logic would have been on that side, because it would have gotten potentially complicated unless they just sidestep it.
I don't know. I don't think this game is that deep. I could be wrong, but I mean, I didn't think Alpha Protocol was going to be that deep, but it was.
Yeah. So. As far as flexibility, you mean? Narrative flexibility.
Yeah. So, I feel like it kind of came out of nowhere, if I'm being honest. I remember I texted you saying I'm close to the end game and I don't know if I like how it's going.
Yeah.
Because Constantine has always been like, you know, he has been kind of like spoiled rich kid with a chip on his shoulder. But he's never been, I want to rule this island. You know, it never came off that way.
Yeah. And then always a little bit naive, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. He was very naive, you know. He's like, we're going to save everybody, you know. And he's like, no, we're not, you know. But you got your heart's in the right place, that kind of thing. But then all of a sudden, just to turn complete, you know, I've had this power and we can make a new world. And I was like, what? Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, and especially like in the last like 3 hours of the game, you know, after I've spent probably 40 hours in it. And I'm just like, okay. But anyway. He gets a taste of the magic that the natives have and decides that he's going to use this power to basically make the wildlife, including the guardians, attack other civilizations. So,
and that's purely to gain power, right?
I think so. Like, destroy these people, and then they'll have no other option but to go through me, basically.
Because there's a couple of things that I don't quite get around this kind of central story, or maybe they were just opportunities to have gone deeper. Did they explain why the Ndaigs that were like attacking everybody were, they kept talking about how they were discolored and they looked like they'd been cancerous or poisoned or something.
Yeah, they were corrupted by Constantine's magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they were, you know, attacking people.
Yeah, so just the magic. There was nothing more to it than that.
I think because he was still affected by the Malachor, I think it was like tainted magic.
And was he still affected by the Malachor?
I think he was, but I don't think he was dying from it anymore.
Because I thought he was actually cured. Like, fully cured of the Malachor.
I mean, he may have been. I don't know.
I don't remember them saying either way, but, you know, they basically said, we brought him here to cure him. Job done. Everybody should be happy. And the piece that I... The one reason I think Constantine is, like, the most... Maybe the biggest missing piece of what they could have done story-wise in this game is to have focused more on Constantine's internal struggle. Because for me, one of the biggest things, and like the biggest things I would say are, why was he affected so differently? And it must be because he's an outsider, right? So everyone else that went through this bonding to the island, they kind of like they chose to do that. They were part of the native group, so they that was their religion, that was their culture. They knew what they were doing, so it was like a controlled step by step. All right, now we're going to sign up for it. Now we're going to start to change, and you know they kind of evolved and grew into this role.
Right.
But it makes sense to me that Constantine, as an outsider, somebody who wasn't expecting it, didn't know how to handle it, didn't have the cultural context for it, would not know how to handle it. And so what I don't really understand is how he goes from just, please save me, I'm about to die, to, this is great, I have power, I want more. Like, that's a pretty big change in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really dive into it. They don't deal with his struggle of, how long did it take for him to lose his humanity or his regard for the other people on the island? Because
right.
he at least started off relatively a nice guy, right? Like you say, maybe a little bit spoiled, maybe a little bit naive, but he never had that malicious part of his personality. And so to have completely turned into the villain without any explanation or evidence of that, like, descent into madness, that I feel like is one of the biggest missing pieces of this game.
Yeah, I think that they try to push it off as, like, he felt like he had something to prove because of his father. You know, he mentioned it a couple of times at the beginning of the game, and then he mentioned it again at the end, you know, like, trying to, you know, him having daddy issues, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just not there enough. Now, as far as, like, his descent into madness, obviously, I feel like we kind of like mainlined a lot of the end of this game.
Yeah.
When I think some of these story beats are supposed to happen weeks, if not months later, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, time is supposed to have passed. I still kind of a cop out, especially if you've got a guy who's just playing this game straight through.
Yeah.
It does feel like, wow, now he's bad. Okay. You know,
but that's like that's a huge, you know, emotional and moral, like, plot point that they kind of skipped over.
Yeah.
So that whole, and like him, maybe have him slowly falling out with, you know, with the Sardé would have been great to see as well. I mean, maybe not over a long time period because, you know, there's many ways he could have handled it, right? Desardé could have been oblivious to it because it was his cousin, which he certainly was to some degree. But I never felt like we knew Constantine was bad for a while, or even just a flashback. So maybe you don't find out till the end, but you get all these moral dilemmas that he's going through. You never got really much of his internal dialogue to say, you know, where you could see him obviously making bad decisions as it got worse. That's just that's a struggle, because otherwise I think it's set up as, you know, a pretty good antagonist, if you will. Big reveal,
sure.
It's your cousin.
Yeah, I don't know. But regardless, he's generating this army of monsters, and he's going to take it over. So what happened was, we get the hint. If we remember, he gets kidnapped. And the king, the missing king of the natives.
The High King.
The High King, yeah. He's the one who takes him. We find that out. And we have to fight Vinbar.
That was kind of a funny fight, because the first phase, he's just a generic person.
Human,
and it takes like 8 seconds to beat him.
Yeah. It took two shots. Pow, pow.
Yeah.
We kill the High King, and we're like, oh crap, that's gonna do a lot of bad stuff to the natives. But we were saving our cousin, and he tells us, like, you don't get it. I've been told this is the bad guy. He's gonna destroy our world. And then when we finally get that meeting with the thousand faced god or whatever, which is just a big tree.
Yeah.
they also tell us, they're like, so they tell us two things. One, how can we cure the Malachor? Where'd it come from? And two, who's behind all this bad stuff? And so they answer us, tell us, look, the Malachor is your own doing. You've went away from nature. Essentially, we're polluting ourselves. And it's the human's fault, basically. And you can still reverse this, but you have to basically clean up your ways. You know. I look at it kind of like how, you know, the Black Plague spread. Everybody was, you know, throwing their crap out in the streets. And so then the animals got into the crap, and then, oh, look, a virus started. And it killed a lot of people.
Yeah, crisis of your own doing.
Yeah, kind of like that. And then the God tells us that the one you call Constantine is the one that's going to destroy us, and you need to stop him. And we're like, what? You crazy. But yeah. So after the big reveal, and we go to get evidence about it, and see, that's the thing. In this time, he's got followers that are like, you know, all about this cult with him. And, you know, he's got his own like little secret area where he's doing all his, you know, espionage and stuff, preparing. And so, all right, this is going to take a lot of people to do. So we have to basically have our little lands meet. And we have to make sure we get all of the factions to join us in this fight against Constantine. So we actually have a full-on like quest list. Get the five factions to be on your side. So the congregation of merchants, you can forget. They are now hostile to us. Because that's Constantine's. But you got to have the Bridge Alliance. You got to have Tamale. You got to have the Coin Guard, the Natives, and the Knots. Those are your five factions. Well, I'm set for the Natives. I've done nothing but good things for the Natives.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Then I'm set for the Bridge Alliance because I took out their crazy Professor Asili and helped out Aphra and all this other stuff. So I did all that. So I'm good there. I got those two guys. Tamale doesn't exist anymore because the Coin Guard took it over.
That's crazy because that just didn't happen in my game.
Yeah. So I can still talk to the Cardinal Mother or whatever, or the Mother Cardinal, and she's like, I have no people to give you. I'm like, okay. And the Coin Guard wants nothing to do with him because I basically tried to kill all of them, and they're just like, nope, I'm not helping you. You're on
your
own.
That's crazy to me because I had the exact opposite alliance then that you did.
Well, and then the Knots. So the Knots were like, you've given me no reason to help you. But if you want to do this for me, maybe I'll help you. And so I did that thing, which was basically spying on this girl who supposedly was selling Knot information to some bad people. I did all that.
See, and I did that like 20% of the way into the game.
See, I didn't. I did that at the very end. And so I did that, and they're like, okay, all right, we'll help you. So I had the Knots on my side. That was it. Everybody else was like, no.
Oh, so you didn't have the Natives.
No, I did. I did have the Natives. Oh. I had the Natives, the Knots, and the Bridge Alliance. That was it.
Yeah, I didn't have the Natives, although all I've done this whole game is be positive to the Natives. So I was kind of blown away, especially because despite having killed the High King... I did just help them nominate a new king, a new High
who,
King.
Who did you give the High King crown to?
I probably, like, in-game lore, probably should have spent more time thinking about it and picked somebody different. I ended up going with Dirdra, because she's the one I spent the most time with.
The warrior?
The warrior, yeah, the warrior leader.
I did, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know what we did differently, other than, did you have Siora, like, full-on friendly?
I didn't do her last... I was friendly with the natives, but I didn't do more to her personal quests.
Okay.
But
so I did all of her personal quests.
Maybe that was it. But when I talked to Dirdra about this, she basically said, we support you, but you haven't done enough to gain the trust of the other clan leaders. Therefore, we can't join you, but we will send people there to support you. So it was like, it's a big red X, like they didn't support me, but I still got something out of it, I think.
Huh. I don't know. No, she was straight up, she's like, you helped me become queen, you've helped us out, you've you know, basically been with us the whole time. We were like, yes. Yeah. She there was no doubt. She was like, yes, I will join you. Bridge Alliance was the same way.
The Bridge Alliance was the one where I basically was left in limbo. Then I went and did the whole Asili quest. I finally turned that in, and he's like, "Yeah, you haven't done anything to support us. We're not going to support you."
So you didn't get them either?
I didn't get the Bridge Alliance. No.
Wow.
I had the Knots. They were kind of in my. I figured I would have the Knots because I did so much of Vasco's quest, and I did.
Yeah.
You know, I helped out the Knots before when they were trying to maintain their reputation. They're like, oh, you can't let this stuff come to light because it'll damage our reputation on the seas. So I had done some stuff for them. I went pretty far down the Queen Guard quest lines, you know, with finding out why one of the guards had gone missing, and then supporting, kind of clearing up some of the bad actors within the Queen Guard. So
right.
I had done quite a lot there. They helped me pretty quickly.
Coin Guard was like, no.
The only issue I had with that one is I went to that main Coin Guard commander right in the front door, and he was trying to send me on some other quest, and then it turns out the guy who needed to approve it was up a floor. So when I finally went up there, it was just, yeah, automatically, yeah, you can do it. And I thought I actually had glitched because I was trying to finish up a quest probably from like 20 hours ago, where I had to go hide behind some boards and wait for a nighttime meeting, and then I was going to ambush somebody, and it just wouldn't trigger. So I thought that I wasn't going to be able to get the Coin Guard, but it turns out I wasn't even talking to the right guy anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, the Coin Guard guy that I talked to, he was where the Cardinal Mother was sitting. So I had to go in Hikmet, and he was sitting up there in the manor or whatever. Mm. And I was just like, you want to help me? He's like, no. Okay, this left.
So. And then I thought I had really bad pacing because the whole decision that you had talked about before of, you know, Teleme versus Hikmet and like which one are you going to save? I thought that was I was somehow seeing that super late, but it turns out it was just a whole different thing where you have to help out both the east and west sides of the island.
Yeah, yeah, with the monsters attacking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that too. And, like, it didn't help with the Coin Guard at all. So, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I do not know if it matters.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, after all this, like, there's so much that we did or didn't do with companion quests, and then gaining the Alliance of these different factions, what does it matter?
So here's the question I have for you. At the end of the game, when you had your final boss fight, were you by yourself? Did you have any of your party members with you?
I think I was by myself because they had all gone off in pairs to support at each of the camps up along the way to the volcano.
That's what I got too. So I don't know if it matters.
Yeah,
Other
nobody
than
died.
maybe you have a better, you have an easier time making it up the mountain. Like you don't have to fight as many guys, or you have more people to help you.
Yeah, maybe, but that would be like a 1 or 2% difference,
Yeah.
right? Like, one more person would have maybe distracted one or two more beasts. I can't see how that would have really affected the game at all.
I don't know.
But the fact that, like, everybody verbally was positive, even those I didn't have the best relationships with, the
Yeah,
fact that nobody
everybody was
died.
like, yeah, nobody died. Everybody was like, hey, thanks for helping me. I'm going to stay with these people. And you go kill Constantine.
Yeah, we'll clear you a path.
Yeah, everything was nice, you
Yeah.
know.
But I
Obviously, I
felt like I
didn't.
was only maybe halfway there from a securing support perspective. I only had 3 out of the 5 in that one quest line,
Yeah.
and I didn't do any of, like, Petrus's quests, for example. I thought he
Yeah.
was going to be the first to die.
Yeah. No, nobody died.
It's confusing.
The only
Makes me feel
person that
like nobody
died in my
mattered.
party was Kurt, and I killed him myself. Or
Yeah,
no, he killed himself. I forgot. Yeah.
if you gotta have something done, you had to do it yourself.
Yeah. I don't know.
Job done right.
I didn't have him. I didn't have him throughout the rest of this game, but that's it.
That's crazy.
But yeah, at the end, you know, Constantine's there and he's like, join me. We can start a new world.
Yeah, your final decision.
And you have the one decision of joining Constantine or killing him. What'd you do? I know what you did, but what'd you do?
Yeah, if he had framed the question to me differently, I might have joined him. But he was just such an obvious douche at the end of this game that I'm like, I'm sorry, you gotta die.
Yeah.
Like, if he had just lied to me, I would have fallen for it.
No. I don't know. Yeah, I killed him too. And then I was hoping for more at the end because after that, it's just like splash cards of a person saying, this person did this, this person did
Yeah.
this. The end. You know, and there and none of it was bad. Like it was like, you know, Ciara went off to be with the natives, and Vesco went off to be with the Knots. He got his ship back, and it was all just like happy endings, you know. And occasionally they would return to the island and meet with their old friends. The end.
Yep.
And I
I
was like,
feel like
okay.
that kind of epitomizes this game a little bit. It does the core stuff well, but it doesn't really elevate, like, you gave me a good generic ending, but you didn't give me a great ending.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, you have to do these faction quests and loyalty quests, but in the end, they don't maybe matter all that much.
I don't think they really matter. Yeah.
And you gave me a
Other
nice long
than
game with a
Kurtz.
luscious world, great lore, but you didn't really get the personal drama, high stakes drama down quite right.
Yeah. The only person that mattered was Kurtz.
Yeah.
If I didn't do his stuff, he killed himself. Or I
Which is
killed
kind
him.
of cool, but like if they had done that in bigger or smaller ways with every character, this game would have been so cool
Yeah.
because we would have had wildly different, and it would have cascaded into the ending. It's cool that they had that one big thing in the game, but if they had had that 4 or 5 or 6 times to different degrees, it would have been a hugely more memorable game, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And
I don't
that's,
know.
I struggle a little bit because I like the characters, I like the lore, I kind of like the story, but a lot of it was good while I was in the game, but a year from now, I'm just going to remember, Islanders versus Outsiders and,
Yeah.
and the tree god and the fact that we killed a bunch of natives and, I don't know, I feel like a lot of the individual story beats aren't going to resonate that long.
So how do you see Greedfall 2 going? 'Cause this kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
So going back to the island, new continent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be as simple as, you know, I'm thinking Legacy of Kain. Like, here's the canonical ending. You didn't rule with your with Constantine, I assume. And then it could just be 5 years later, right? Everyone
Yeah.
else. Because I wonder what would happen, because the other big thing that kind of sets the world going forward is who you pick to be the new High King.
Yeah.
I mean, we both picked Deirdre, who basically, I think in the end card it said, ran everybody out of the island.
Yeah, well, she told us she was going to do
yeah.
that.
She said she was like, going to, and I was okay with it.
Because it's like, I'll help you with this, but after that, you guys are leaving.
Yeah. But the other two choices you had, I think, were wildly different. One of them basically said, we'll figure out, you know, we're going to embrace the future, and it's going to be everybody living here together. And the other one basically, I think, said, you guys can have your section, we're going to have our section, and we're going to just operate independently.
Yeah.
So you're basically all three parts of the spectrum of the outcome of that. That's almost as important as the last decision you make as far as, what let's say, what this world looks like 5 years later. So that's, you know, how do you ever do a sequel in that kind of environment, right? You have to pick one, I assume.
Unless it's a prequel.
Unless it's a prequel, yeah.
So I don't know. I know nothing of Greedfall, too. I know it's been kind of in limbo, I think. Let me look it up. Greedfall 2. The Dying World is what it's called.
So I'm guessing it's after sequel.
Uprooted from the island of your birth, find your freedom. Explore the old continent and forge your destiny through alliances, scheming, and battles in Greedfall 2, The Dying World. Looks like you play as a native.
Interesting.
It's an upcoming sequel. It has officially been confirmed to enter Steam Early Access this summer. In a way, Greedfall 2 is Spyre's first real sequel, as although Technomancer is technically a sequel, it doesn't continue the story of Mars Wars Logs. Greedfall 2's prequel status could see it taking a Red Dead style risk, so it is a prequel.
Okay.
I think it may be you're like one of the natives that when the first group of people came to the island, you know, the ancient ones.
Yep.
I think that's what it is. Okay. Well, maybe we can get some more explanation here, because we got an email that came in February 27th. And I haven't read it. It came from Chad, and it's Greedfall's finale / ending. It says, howdy crew, first of all, I have to retract some of my previous statements on the diversity of endings for this game. I might even argue that the endings are worse than Mass Effect 3. Most of the ending variety is more in line with the first Dragon Age game. However, I think my previous statements on how the optional side quests play into the endgame climax are still true. Some of the best content in this game is through completing all the different side quests for each of the factions. In fact, I think I caught something this time around that I don't remember from my first two playthroughs. One of the last side quests you get from the Bridge Alliance has you tracking down Aphra's old mentor. During that quest, they explain that he's the reason why Constantine got the Malachor sickness in the first place. They explain that the concoction they gave Constantine immediately after he got off the boat in New Serene was intentionally poisoned.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a bunch of other little nuggets of information like that I missed along the way. Although my love for the game diminishes with each playthrough, it still holds a fond place in my heart. I think it does a good job of creating the illusion of choice and effect. I also really enjoy the protagonist's perspective of being a diplomat and how my decisions impacted governing relations. It creates a more interesting spectrum than just a good versus bad or paragon versus rogue. One thing I did differently this playthrough is being more thoughtful with who I was including in my party. I was constantly swapping party members out depending on what the quest involved. For example, if it involved something with the Knots, I would bring Vasco along, Aphra for Bridge Alliance, Sior for the natives. This also made the quest much more interesting because you may get different dialogue options, scenes, and outcomes simply based on who you had in your party at the time. I also noticed this time that Constantine got sick before I pushed forward on some of the early main missions, so I feel like I got some slightly different dialogue with him this time around. All in all, I still think this is a pretty good game with some rough edges. When a big chunk of the time passes, it only feels like it's been 10 minutes. I know I'm enjoying the game. So Greedfall 2 is supposedly coming out this year and has been confirmed to be a prequel. How far in advance do you think this prequel will take place? Will it be hundreds of years with the early settlers on the island? The god at the end said Constantine does not understand what he is doing and that his ambition will revert generations of progress and take back to the way they used to be. Or will the prequel be immediately prior to the events of this game and maybe include the origin story of the Sardae's mother and a young Perdius? Definitely going to be a day one purchase for me. Spiders games are seemingly getting better with each release. Till next time, Chad. Thank you for that email, Chad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not opposed to Greedfall 2. Spiders, I agree. With every game, Spiders does better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean this is definitely a good game.
Yeah.
I did like that point that you find out that Asili is the one that poisoned them on the way over, basically.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have known that.
Back. It also makes the Bridge Alliance pretty much the clearly the worst faction, right? I guess you're kind of tied to New Serene anyway because Constantine is there.
Yeah.
And you really only have, like, which of the other ones do you like? I guess you've got all the religious issues on the West Coast, and you've got Hikmet's issues on the East Coast. But I feel like just the Bridge Alliance... It's weird, because I like them as kind of the scientific, like, we're trying to find the solution, but they went so far awry, or at least the doctor did.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's one of the worst people in the game.
Well, everybody, I mean, every time I talked to somebody in Hikmet, they were just like, I didn't know he was doing that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And they execute him at the end, you know?
Not in my game, I killed him myself.
Oh, no. I held the trial. I gathered the evidence, held the trial, and they hung him. And we watched. Geez. Yeah. We watched, and Aphra watched. And she was just like, this is not good. So, I don't know.
I also got really confused in that quest, because you go down and you find, like, the jail section, the cages, mm-hmm. where he's holding all the people he's abducted.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure out how to open the cages.
Yep. Me too.
But it turns out you're not supposed to open them. You're just supposed to talk to somebody in a cage.
Correct.
Then they'll allow you to go find the Dr. Asili up in the house. Then you can get the keys and come back down.
Yep.
So is that tied to... I thought I had picked up the keys.
I thought I had too.
And the game glitched a little bit because I could see the column of light. And it was orange, indicating something important. But I had already picked it up, so I couldn't re-pick it up. I restarted my game 3 times, thinking it was just a glitch that would work itself out. But it turns out that wasn't where I was supposed to be anyway, so that quest was a little bit frustrating for me.
Yeah, they could definitely use a little bit more polish with their games.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best way to describe it. They're getting there, I think.
Yeah, they're getting there, and for the most part, I'll give them a pass on that type of a thing, right? Like, these things happen sometimes, and again, I'll always appreciate them trying to punch above their weight to give something more crazy or more flexible or bigger than they would have given otherwise. If it's a little bit janky, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was like a clear decision that I struggled with, especially in the end game, maybe just because I was trying to mainline it, was that I felt this constant sense of disappointment because so many times in this game you're on a mission and I'm like, all right, I need to do X so I can get back to my bigger task of Y. But then when I went to do the first part, it would say, well, to do this part, now you need to do three other parts. And so I felt like I was always being pulled away from what I was trying to do by the, like, the sequential, like, nested, like, I need to go here and convince this person. Okay, I'll go do that, and then I'll go back and get to my main task. But in order to convince that person, now I need to go do three tasks for them or find something for them. It's not bad, I guess, and I don't have a problem in most games with that kind of, like, you gotta do A, then you'll do B, then you'll do C. But here I felt like it was always pulling me not forward, but away from what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, it always felt like extra steps.
Yeah.
In order to do this, you gotta do this, this, and this. You know what I mean?
But, like, if you tell me I have to do three things, I'm mentally prepared to do those three things. If one of those things has, like, five nested pieces within it, then I feel like, well, I can't get the thing too. And now all of a sudden, I don't know. Maybe it's just impatience, and maybe it was only at the end of the game when I was trying to wrap it up, but I just felt like I can't, like, I'm always not doing what I want to be doing because I have to do something else first. Whereas I never really felt that in The Witcher. I felt like those side things were themselves valuable, not distractions from what's valuable.
Sure. I don't know, man. They still got some quest structure to work on. I think they tried to be a little ambitious and be like, "Oh, you can just do whatever you want whenever you want." But then,
yeah.
in a grander scale, that doesn't work because, you know, well, he can't get to the end before doing this other side stuff because that's part of the story. And so they're just like, well, stop. And yeah. You're going to go do something else now. I'm like, okay, well.
I did think that killed the pacing a few times in this game.
Yeah, it happened probably about three times with me. And I'm just like, oh, well, I guess I'm done with this quest line. After like, the second time, I was like, okay, well, this is the stop. All right, let me go do the next part. But I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. And most of my minute-to-minute, like, I was enjoying it. Like, I never really got overly frustrated with the game, even when it was glitching a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was just kind of happily playing it. I don't think any part of this game was better for me than the first 3 or 4 hours, though. Like, getting to sink into this world and, like, learning the characters. And even those first couple of quests you do, I really like the beginning of this game. And I really like the overall lore and story of the game. But the actual, like, quests, the beginning was the best for me.
Yeah. That's one thing I will give them is, like, the lore in this game is crazy. You know, I don't think I've ever played a game that wasn't like a historical period piece that kind of took place in this time period. But yeah. There's also magic, and there's also these crazy creatures, and like there's a lot there, you know.
Yeah.
Needless to say, spiders make some interesting worlds. I wouldn't necessarily say interesting stories. Their stories are fine. But their worlds, I think, is where they really shine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would say it's a solid 7 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, but I'd probably ballpark it in the same area.
Yeah, good, not great.
I really enjoyed it, but I wasn't, like, in love.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my time with it, but I wasn't in love.
Yeah. If they could fix some of those pacing issues, I think it would be a better game.
Yeah, I think if they could fix the pacing issues, and, you know, this is a game which should have had, in my mind, more jaw-dropping moments. I mean, you're talking about high kings and gods and the power of the earth, but even visually, like, I always think back to the very first God of War and the way it would zoom out, and all of a sudden you just have this sense of scale that is mind-blowing. I feel like in this game there's a couple of times, like, when you walk into a cave And maybe you see this god tree in the far corner, and there's like light beams shining down on it. You're illuminating this one thing in the darkness of a cave, where I was like, oh shit, this looks awesome. Or not even like, not visual fidelity, but like art direction and inspiration. It did that at certain points in the game, but it didn't really build for me in that way. Like, there are so many moments in this game that could have been just like awe-inspiring, that just came down to like another fight or another trek through the woods, and it was a little bit too mundane. I think if they could focus a bit more on the big parts and make the big parts feel big, this game has all the elements it needs to be epic. And it felt maybe a little bit less epic than it could have.
Yeah.
In the same way, like when you pick up, you know, let's say I don't know how many times you fight like the biggest boss in the game to that point. And what do they drop? Essentially nothing. Most of them dropped a component that was worth 150 gold, and that's it. No epic weapon, no spells, no nothing that changes the game. So you get to a point where you've just done something in this world that is absolutely ridiculous. And within the game, the biggest boss you fought to that point, and it has no impact on the game. That's weird to me. Yeah. In the same way that like you fight like the biggest werewolf in a clan of werewolves, and it drops Beasthide. Well, thanks. I've already got 700 beast hides. Like, what? You gave me nothing. I just fought the leader, and I got nothing for it. It's a weird sense of like micro disappointment that I got every time I fought something big because it didn't matter.
Yeah, that kind of.
I mean, I don't know. Did you get any of that, or maybe it's just me?
Oh yeah. I mean, especially toward the end there.
I mean, every big boss at the end dropped essentially nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. They dropped something that gave you, that you could sell for a decent amount.
Yeah, I looked at it and said, a collector might be interested. Mm-hmm. Now, you could have had another, I mean, not that the game needs more padding, but you could have had a quest like, if you can provide six of these pieces, then you get an epic weapon. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. It just wasn't thought out enough, maybe. Especially with some of those bosses being so difficult.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's the kind of thing, like, when I think about Horizon. Now, I mean, maybe that's not a fair comparison because this game is much bigger than that game. But Horizon Zero Dawn, like, the story, like, everything, it's tighter. It's a tight game. And, like, you get these new weapons that change the way you play. Like, this whole game, like, I went into this game and I played it for probably 50 hours being like, I'm going to be a magic user. And in the end, I had like two spells in the whole game. So like, I liked the combat. I thought it worked really well, but there wasn't much variety to it. I mean, I guess I could have done that myself and changed weapons and done this and done that. But, you know, for trying to be a magic using Desardé, it was pretty one note.
Yeah. Yeah, you were. It was. I feel like I didn't have. Well, I say that. I didn't experiment as much as I probably should have in combat.
Yeah.
I found what worked.
But then, yeah, the game doesn't force you to. Like, there aren't a lot of enemies that, like, oh, you can't slash this one. You need to puncture it. Or, you know, the game doesn't force you to experiment. Therefore, you kind of find what works and you optimize.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do in those kind of games, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we'll something see. Like Horizon, like, it changes drastically as you play.
Yeah.
And, like, the story really ties back to, like, everything is, the story is tight, the lore is tight. But, again, it's a much more linear game. It doesn't have the expansiveness of this game. You don't, but I don't know. I guess it's got the lore that's as expansive as this, just not the world.
I don't know. So, Greedfall 2. What would you say you're going to be doing?
I would love to know what's different, but I'm definitely intrigued even now. Like, I love the world. I would love to dive back into the world.
Sure.
I would love to know, like, what's the hook? I want to know that there's a little bit more, I don't know, maybe not more epicness, because this game, again, had high kings and gods and yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm probably, like, a day two, just make sure the reviews say it's good, and then I would pick it up. If it's a good game, I want to play it. But if, you know, if they come out and say, yeah, it's mediocre, I'm not sure. I would still love to play it, but I don't know that I would be in line to play it day one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to hear a little bit more about it.
Yeah. A little bit of a wait-and-see mode.
Yeah.
I hope it's well, because I love the Spiders games. I love this game, even though I feel like all I can think about are a lot of the things that I wish it did better, but I did enjoy it. I mean, if not, I probably would have abandoned this many, many hours ago for gameplay. It's a lot of time to put into a game if you're not enjoying it, and I was throughout the whole game. I wish I had done a few more of the character quests. I wish the character quests mattered more, but it was I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
Solid 7.
There you go. Well, that's the ending of Greedfall. I know it took a little while to get there. A lot of stuff happened in between there. Yeah, we finished that one up.
We saved the island.
Well, I saved the island and got kicked off of it.
Yeah.
So, that's whatever. It was their island to begin with, so I'm just going to let them have it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that wraps up Greedfall. I guess we're still on track for The Man Who Erased His Name.
Yep.
Okay. So that's going to be our next game we're going to be playing through is Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, which is
that is some title.
That is a heck of a title. But that is the game that happens in between Yakuza Like a Dragon and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. So basically figure out what happened with Kiryu in between Yakuza 6 and 7, I guess. I don't know when that I think it takes place, or maybe it takes place in between. I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out. I'm not too familiar.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar, but it doesn't need a hard sell. It's more no. If it's more Yakuza, I'm always kind of intrigued.
Yep. And I've got Infinite Wealth sitting here. I've had it since day one. And I haven't even booted it up, so I'm ready to get into that. But like I said, we're changing up our style of how we're doing this. So there's a couple of things. Speaking of Gaiden or Gaiden, whatever, however you pronounce it, from what I understand, Terrence and Anthony are planning on using our Phoenix Down moniker, so using our name to do basically what they call Phoenix Down Gaiden, which is kind of like a little spinoff of them talking about something, whether it be video games, comic books, music. They're going to use it as kind of like how we used to do our intermission shows.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing that. I don't know when they're going to be doing it. They're going to be putting it on Phoenix Down, so there is no need to resubscribe to a different show or anything like that. But it's just going to be labeled differently. And we're going to continue doing our Game Club show, but it's probably going to be on almost like a monthly basis. Basically, we're going to play through a game, finish it, and then we're going to have this kind of like a spoiler cast, just talking about how we felt about it, what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, you know, highs and lows, that kind of thing. Obviously, because recording every week is going to be a challenge because I have a newborn baby at the house, and that takes priority. So, but we're making it work. I think Like a Dragon, Gaiden is probably the perfect example of that. You know, I think it's only about 12 hours. We can finish that in probably a couple weeks and then knock it out. And then after that, we're doing Infinite Wealth, which I'll probably see in 4 months. That's how long it's going to take to finish that game. But yeah. Either way, we'll handle it. and that's the plan for now. Will that change? Maybe. We don't know. But I'm going to have to play it by ear. But, yeah, that's it for us. Thank you all for listening. Wrapped up Greedfall, and I'm excited to jump into more Yakuza. But yeah, if you'd like to send an email, it is drew@ztgd.com. You can also tweet to us. I am at DMLFury, and Matt is at REMGS. And the podcast itself is at ZTGD Phoenix Down. But yeah, keep an eye out for the Gaiden episodes. Those should be coming. I think they're working on one this week, but I'm not sure.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be it for us. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, I am Drew.
And I'm Matt.
And we are out of here. You guys have a great week, great month, however long it takes us to get this done. But we will be back with the beginning and ending of Like a Dragon, Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. Thank you.